Now the purpose of all this Dhatri and Tamas was that in each one of the multiple points of concentration of consciousness, to make him embodied and to manifest a totality, so that in the embodied consciousness, in the embodied condition, the Jivatman realizes Atman, Purusha, Ishvara and its own individuality. This totality, Jivatman experiences in the totality, in the embodied condition. This is the purpose. Now, in this purpose, there is nothing evil at all. I mean, it is perfectly legitimate that the perfect consciousness should manifest in each individual perfection. And this is the purpose of the whole movement. You cannot create an embodied condition without the manifestation of matter. As long as there was only truth and the right, as long as there was only Atman, Purusha, Ishvara and Jivatman, there was no matter as yet manifested. It was a potentiality in the divine.
What is the Jivatman at that stage? How
is he? Jivatman is fully conscious of all this, but not embodied condition. That is the one lacuna, you might say. If you want to say it's a lacuna. In a certain sense, there is no lacuna at all. There is no deficiency at all. We must remember that according to Veda and Upanishad, the creation is not executed to fulfill any lacuna in the divine. It is not as if the divine was incomplete without the creation and therefore he started a creation. The divine is capable of creating or remaining without creation. And both the conditions are equally perfect for him. It's not as if he was incomplete, but he is capable of both. Therefore, if he remains unmanifest, that is a manifestation, that is one of the possibilities of him, perfectly fine. But he is also capable of manifestation, and therefore if he manifests, that is also fine. That is why one of the greatest wisdoms of the Upanishad is Purnamadaha Purnamidam. That is perfect, this is perfect. Purnat Purnamudachyate. From the perfect, perfect comes out. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. If you take out perfect from the perfect, perfect remains. This is the real formula of the divine. So it is not as if this perfection was in need of creating a world for the fulfillment of perfection. It is not as if that without embodiment, the divine's delight of his being was less. It was one kind of delight and a perfect delight. That is another kind of delight which is also perfect delight. But he is capable of it. And he is not bound that he must create that kind of world because he is omnipotent and free. So in a sense you might say that there was no real necessity for God to create this. But it was capable, the divine was capable of creating it, and therefore he could create it also. And if you ask why, the answer is that he was capable of it. There was no necessity nagging at him, saying that you must create, because he is really free. He is not obliged to do it. But if he decided to do it, he was capable of it, then this is the process by which he can do it. That if he wants to manifest in embodied form, if the individual is to be embodied, and in that embodied condition, if his perfection is to be manifested, then this process is possible and divine is capable of it. And as I said, the power of consciousness is capable of it. To complexity of consciousness being the power of the divine, it could create a kind of covering of consciousness over itself. And in fact, this is the kind of play we always, every day we do it when we go to sleep. We are conscious now, and then we are capable to cover our consciousness gradually, and we go into sleep. And then that sleep can be also again removed and recover the consciousness and connect our life of the previous day with our succeeding day. This is possible even in our ordinary consciousness. So this being the power of the divine consciousness, this being the purpose of the divine consciousness, he is exercising that power to execute that particular purpose. Now, having answered these basic propositions, now it is easier to see the other processes. So let us say that first of all, as the Veda says, first the night came out by the concentration of consciousness. By exclusive concentration of consciousness. And this is an important word, exclusive concentration.
What does that have to explain?
There is what you may call integral concentration of consciousness. That is one word. There is multiple concentration of consciousness. And then there is this exclusive concentration of consciousness. All the three powers are the powers of the divine consciousness. The integral concentration is one in which one is simultaneously aware of all. The divine is aware of himself as Atman, Purusha, Ishvara, Jivatman, of all, simultaneously. That is integral concentration of consciousness. In the multiple concentration of consciousness, there is the possibility of a play in which one becomes more dominantly conscious of one, less dominantly conscious of the other. Just as when we are now entered into this room, the preoccupation of the kitchen at home is as a background. The preoccupation with this particular topic on hand is more predominant. But that one is not lost. It is at the background. So this possibility of making one strand of consciousness dominant and another strand of consciousness less dominant creates in us the possibility of multi-sided or multiple centered concentration. Now, out of that multiple concentration of consciousness arises the possibility of exclusive concentration of consciousness. A point can be reached when that which is dominant, you become exclusively concentrated on that. And for a moment, all the rest is forgotten.